You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday morning. It is time to check in with Pastor Worth for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
I just promoted you to doctor.
Oh, thank you very much. I just love these honorific titles.
I don't know how valuable it is when I grant those doctorates.
I'll take what I can get.
Well, how are you this morning, Pastor Worth?
I am well, thank you, and I hope that the Lord will give you relief from your congestion and cold that you have right now.
Well, thank you. I am battling it, but thanks to Jenny, our lead producer here, she was gracious and ran and got some hot water for me to have my tea this morning, and that's helping quite a bit. So we'll see, though. It's a long weekend ahead with Christmas program rehearsals and stuff like that as well. I bet you're probably busy this time of year, too.
It is very busy.
Pastors don't do anything this time of year, really.
Not at all.
You only work on Sundays, maybe on Wednesdays, too, during Advent, right?
Yes. And yet it takes four strong men to bring all the money that we make, so.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us each week. I know that Advent and Lent and those times of year get to be busy for you, but I appreciate all that you do to share with us the knowledge and truth here on Creation Club. And speaking of Creation Club, announcement for this week.
There is an announcement. The Missouri Association for Creation is having their monthly event Monday, December 14th at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 De Pere Road, here in the greater St. Louis area. The early bird video will be Evolution and Logical Fallacies, presented by Dr. Jason Lyle. I've seen this video. It's very, very well done, and he has to basically teach us logic so that he can then show what the logical fallacies in evolution are. A lot of us haven't studied logic formally, or maybe it's been quite a few years since we did. So Dr. Lyle actually leads you by the hand step by step to explain certain principles of logical argumentation, and then reviews numerous logical fallacies and gives many examples of how evolutionists often use fallacious arguments in arguing for their position. So learn to recognize these fallacious positions and provides a new opportunity to defend the Christian faith and argue for the truth of creation. So that is at 6 p.m., that early bird video, and then at 7 p.m. is the main event, a live presentation by Steve Grimes, Arguments for Evolution, Weighed and Found Wanting. This presentation will look at some of the arguments put forth for evolution by the National Academy of Sciences and others, and it will show the various logical fallacies they commit. Special attention to the argument for molecules to man evolution based on homology or similarities between creatures. They'll also look at some tactics used by evolutionists, including choosing evidence that supports their arguments while suppressing evidence that doesn't, obfuscating by using misleading detail and terminology, and telling just-so stories as if they should pass for true science. Steve Grimes has a degree in science from Washington University in St. Louis, and he works with computers. He's a pretty sharp cookie. He's also a member of Zion Lutheran Church in Harvester. That's one of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations in St. Charles County, Missouri. So, again, this presentation, the video is at 6 p.m., the live presentation at 7 p.m. on Monday, December 14th, Gateway Christian Church, 1951 De Pere Road, in St. Louis. And for those who are not in the St. Louis area and feel cheated every time we make these announcements, a lot of times the very things that we talk about are things you can obtain through Answers in Genesis. So this video, a DVD called Evolution and Logical Fallacies, you may obtain and show in your church or in your home. It's available from Answers in Genesis. Go to answersingenesis.org. There's an online store. You can shop for books and DVDs, and this is one that you can find. Evolution, Logical Fallacies. I highly recommend it.
Well, very good. That's coming up this weekend.
It's next Monday.
Monday the 14th,
6 p.m. is the video, 7 p.m. the live speaker on a similar topic of logical fallacies and the arguments for evolution, and that's at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 De Pere Road in St. Louis. So it's out off of 270 out there in West St. Louis County.
I highly recommend using GPS to get you there.
That's true, because it's a little tricky getting there.
That's a weird interchange or a weird exit in terms of getting over to DePere Road. But you can see it from the highway. It's just getting there is the challenge.
There you go.
All right. Well, what do you have for us this week? What topic do you have for us in Creation Club this week?
Well, you know, we've got a movie coming up here. Have you heard of it? I think it's called Star Wars or something like that. And there's been a lot of hype about that.
Absolutely.
Obviously, building up is supposed to be some big blockbuster. And I think it's coming out on Christmas Day, isn't it?
I think so. I think you're
thereabouts.
Right.
So they're expecting lots of people to go see this movie about Star Wars. Now, do you like science fiction?
I do. I don't watch a lot of science fiction, but when I do watch it, I enjoy it.
I enjoy science fiction, and I think I've seen all the other Star Wars, or most of them, and they can be a lot of fun, and it's fun to think about space travel and, you know, all different kinds of living creatures from different worlds. But reality is, no one has found any life anywhere except on planet Earth, and planet Earth is teeming with life created by God. It didn't evolve over millions and billions of years. Life with all kinds of variety and complexity, and yet those people who reject what the Bible teaches about creation seem to think that life probably happened all over the place, and they keep looking in outer space for some evidence that there could be life someplace else. So in the news recently, there's been a couple of things. One was, over the last couple of months, there's been a lot of excitement about the possibility of intelligent alien life around a star, KIC 8462852.
I think that's my license plate number, too.
Oh, they got your secret password to your email account, right? Now, there was a star, and you've probably seen it. It was in Popular Science, and it was online in a lot of different venues. Could there be aliens around star KIC 8462852? You may either be relieved or disappointed to find out that the Allen Telescope Array scanned the star for evidence of advanced civilizations and has come up empty. Again. The star attracted a lot of attention about a month ago after researchers reported an odd phenomenon happening there. Located 1,480 light-years away, the star sometimes dims by up to 20%. That's a much larger shadow than a planet could cast, and the dimming happens at an irregular pattern. So trying to explain these weird effects, scientists have come up with a variety of hypotheses. Could it be a family of comets? Does the star have a distorted shape that's bending the light? One team went so far as to suggest the dimming could be caused by a huge structure built by aliens. These are serious, legitimate scientists we're talking about. So the SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute, turned its Allen Telescope Array toward KIC 8462852 to find out. And they say, although it's quite likely that this star's strange behavior is due to nature, not aliens, it's only prudent to check out such things. So they did check it out, and of course they came up empty. They didn't find anything when they scanned it in various bandwidths, looking for microwave radiation and other kinds of information that could indicate that there is an intelligent civilization out there. And I don't know if you read any of the reports. I mean, there were people that were very, very excited, and they had imagined that if there would be an intelligent civilization that far away and on a planet around that star, that they would probably have figured out by now how to harvest energy from the star in a way that would make them... They wouldn't worry about climate change, right? what a coincidence that they would be interested in this matter. And so they would have built these very elaborate satellites that would go around their planet and harvest solar energy in such a way that then, you know, they would have free energy and it would be wonderful. Well, they haven't found any evidence of such a thing. But, you know, they aren't easily ones to give up. So the team in particular that proposed this as the most likely answer, that it's intelligent aliens that have built megastructures around this Star, have gotten a big boost because Silicon Valley's Yuri Milner has made a big investment. So the Green Bank Telescope in West Virginia is getting some upgrades. So next year, they'll be testing out some new equipment that could result in the largest ever search for extraterrestrial life. The equipment will be able to scan 1.5 billion frequencies at once. And so they're thinking that the use of this state-of-the-art equipment to look for radio signals for alien technologies might accidentally, you know, give us some proof that there really is intelligent life out there somewhere. So stay tuned for further information about that. I'm sure this will be in the news again, as was another article, if we can continue on this topic of life out there. And that is, there was, let me switch over to this other article I brought up. Oh, and that is, Kepler's giant exoplanets, are they real or not? And I found this over on the website for Sky and Telescope. I like to look there because there's a lot of interesting stuff to look at in the heavens, and that's a good source to look for. What are you seeing when you look up at night and you see this constellation, or you're seeing this thing that you think is a planet? Which planet could that be? So there's a lot of good information over there. But I found this, and that is, you know, with the Kepler space telescope, they've been looking for giant exoplanets, and they've found, supposedly, thousands of them. It's like 4,000 that have been recently found by this Kepler telescope. And it turns out that 55% of them are false positives. Okay. So, in the midst of a slew of exoplanet results from the Extreme Solar Systems 3 conference in Hawaii last week, one study garnered a lot of attention following a press release headline that read, "Half of Kepler's giant exoplanet candidates are false positives." The study at the heart of the hubbub was a follow-up on potential giant planets detected by NASA's Kepler satellite, which over 4 years found exoplanet candidates by the thousands. It turns out that a large number, roughly 55% of Kepler's list of giants, the study authors say, might not be planets after all. Now, that might sound shocking, but it's not. These results were largely expected. Let's see. Go down. Basically, Alexandre Centerni from the University of Portugal and Ajax Marseille of the University of France and his colleagues followed up on Kepler's long list of planet candidates during a 5-year observing campaign with a 1.93-meter telescope at the Observatory of Haute-Provence in France. And Kepler detected planets by their transits, that is, the slight dimming of a star's light they cause when they pass in front of it. Using the SOFI spectrograph, Centerni's team sought to confirm these starlight dips planetary status by measuring the world's tiny gravitational tugs on their stars. The instrument could detect radial velocity wiggles as small as 2 meters per second. Small planets cause too weak a wiggle for SOFI to discern, so the team could only follow up on giants. Rather than choosing targets based on a candidate's radius, whose measurement might be uncertain, the team chose targets by their transit depth. The larger the planet, the more light it will block. They also chose only those planets with orbits taking less than 400 days. In the end, Centerni and his colleagues spent 370 nights between July of 2010 and July of 2015 observing 129 of Kepler's more than 4,000 planet candidates. Of these, only 45 turned out to be bona fide planets. The rest were brown dwarfs or multiple star systems. And there were an additional 18 cases the team could reject both of those alternatives, but still couldn't confirm the planet. If all of those 18 cases turned out to be planets, then 51% of Kepler's giant potential planets would still turn out not to be real. And anyway, the article goes on to explain that and says it's not really that surprising because the whole point of putting that satellite, the Kepler satellite, out there was to take all kinds of observations of things that even remotely could be planets and then let them sort out the data once they had a chance to make follow-up observations. In some ways, it's kind of like when you go to the doctor and they take a test and there's a false positive, and then they do follow-up tests and it's like, well, it turns out, you don't have cancer after all. And you're relieved, of course, mm-hmm. but you're glad that they have a test to just in case, err on the side of safety to say, okay, let's do some more follow-up tests to make sure this isn't what we thought it was. Well, here's kind of the reverse. They do follow-up tests for something they're hoping it will be, and it turns out it isn't after all. Now, actually, this is the way science works. So, in terms of the whole creation versus evolution debate, we shouldn't be mocking them for this. It is actually legitimate science that you do tests and then you do follow-up tests to try to confirm something. But here's the point that I would like to make is that there's so much hype about this stuff. Whenever they think they've come up with a new planet, they come up with all this hype and it grabs headlines and it's on the internet and they come up with all this speculation about, the temperature and the chemical composition and the possibility of life when sometimes it turns out not even to be a planet at all. It's just a misreading of the mm-hmm. information, which after all is often very minute information that comes to us from planets and stars that are so terribly, terribly distant. Now think about this. Let's juxtapose these findings with what we've learned about Pluto recently, and I mm-hmm. realize we're coming to the end of our time.
Yeah, we have just about a half a minute left.
Oh, half a minute. Okay. Well, basically, it takes 4.5 hours for the information from a probe out at Pluto to reach us. These stars we've been talking about are thousands of light years away. And so the information is very, very uncertain and very shaky. So it comes back to this. We know that there's life on Earth. We know from God's word that He created it. And the speculation about life elsewhere is just that, a speculation and wishful thinking, often by people who don't want to believe the God of the Bible, but are willing to believe fairy tales and speculation about other things. And this Christmas season, let's praise God, who is our Creator and our Redeemer, who sent His Son to be the one who died for us and rose again to give us eternal life with Him forever.
A truth and a promise we can trust. Thank you so much, Pastor Wirth.
My pleasure.
God's blessings. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.